Can you open your pew Bible this morning to Matthew 22, and we're going to read from verses 34 through 40, which will be familiar to you in just a little bit. I want to introduce this. It's been a couple weeks now since we did our first one, first core value being worship, and we did that a few weeks ago, and we talked about how important that is to our congregation and our church, and what that's done to us as a community here as believers within our congregation. Today we're going to look at the second core value, relationship, which I think is a very core value for our congregation and what we do within those relationships. And you can see it has benefited this congregation. I think that you guys are good at relationship, especially when I visit with other pastors and people come here and they visit this congregation. It's very welcoming. People come up and talk to them. And that's one thing I've heard over and over again, and so is your consistory. When a new family or a new member wants to join our congregation, they feel like they are accepted, and they feel that people do truly care about them. And that all goes back to relationship. And I think that that's one of our core values as well, the second one. And so we're going to learn about that this morning, of what that looks like within our lives. And so I hope that you get challenged, and that you learn something new for your life as well today, especially as a part of this congregation. So let us read from the Word of the Lord, Matthew 22, beginning at verse 34. Hearing that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, the Pharisees got together. One of them, an expert in the law, tested him with the question, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" And Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on these two commandments." The word of the Lord. Let us pray this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we gather here today and we hear from your word, from your disciple Matthew today, Lord, may you bring those words to life today. Lord, may these words that I prepared through my message be your words. May they resonate with those who have gathered here today in this congregation. May your spirit fill them, open their hearts, their minds, and their souls to not only be challenged, but to receive your word and learn something new for their life, and how they should live and follow you in a better way. Lord, may you fill me with that same spirit as I preach this message. In Jesus I pray these things. Amen. Listen to this story here this morning. There was a theological professor in ethics who opened his class for the semester by reading a letter. A letter from a parent to a government official. The parent complained that his son, who had received a good education, gone to all the right schools, and was headed for a good job as a lawyer, had gotten involved with a weird religious sect. The father continued in his letter that the members of this sect controlled his every move, told him whom to date and whom not to date, and had taken all of his money, is what he thought. And the parent pleaded with the government official to do something about this strange religious group. Then the professor stopped and he asked his class this question. And I'm going to ask you the same question this morning. Who do you think this letter was describing? Think for a moment what I just told you. And so in the class, he gave them a little time to think about it, and they debated back and forth of who this letter might have been describing, who this parent was concerned about. And the class that was studying this thought, well, maybe it's some weird sect, religious cult. Maybe it's like the Branch Davidians in Waco, Texas, or some crazy type of religious cult that was active and so in the community. And after about 15 minutes of discussion, the professor stopped and he revealed what the letter said, where it was from. A third century Roman parent concerned about a group of people called Christians. changes things, doesn't it? Doesn't sound so weird now, does it? This morning, we are going to look at our second core value about relationships and how we live amongst each other, how we act, how we treat each other, and so on. And so we'll look at these three different core relationships today within our own congregation. And so let me just reveal those to you. The first one is our relationship with God. The most important relationship that you and I can ever have will be with God the Father in heaven. The second relationship will be our relationship with others. It might be your family, it might be friends, it might be those from the community, and especially those who sit next to you in church every Sunday. And the third relationship that I want to talk to you about is the love that you should have for yourself. And I mean that in a very humble way, that you should love yourself as well. And so we're going to learn about those three types of relationships in our life here this morning. And so the greatest commandment of loving God with everything you've got means that we've got to be willing to follow our Creator God, to whom we give total and complete allegiance, attention, and adoration to in your life. That's the most important relationship that you'll ever have as a follower of Jesus Christ. And so when the command to love God this way was first given, it was surrounded by a context that demanded obedience. That's the context it was in. Now, Christianity, think about when that came on the scene. Jesus had come to earth and he was living his life of ministry there and he's teaching people a different way. It wasn't like the Pharisees anymore. It wasn't like the Sadducees or the Essenes. It was different. And they called it Christianity. And things began to change. It was groundbreaking back then, as Christianity entered the scene. Where other religions of the time were based on compliance with a set of directives or rules, Christianity was different. And I'll reveal that answer in just a little bit here of how it was different and what was behind it. So in our scripture reading this morning, we see another example where the Pharisees were trying to catch Jesus in an uncomfortable situation. If we can prove this guy is wrong, this Christianity will go away. We don't want to put up with it anymore. This is crazy stuff, people thought. It's a change in the way people lived their lives, the way they acted, the way they lived within their communities, and even the relationships they had with one another were different. You think back to the Pharisees, which you know well, and the Essenes and the Sadducees and so on, they wanted a checklist to salvation. They wanted to fill in the blanks and earn your trip to paradise is what they thought. Or they thought, this is how it works. This is how we'll get there. But instead, Jesus gave them a totally different answer. This is not how it works. It had to do with relationships and sharing part of ourselves. Now, first, you know, the first relationship is the relationship with God the Father, your life giving it to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We know and understand that, but you and I were created for relationships. Rules take away relationships, don't they? You look at the Pharisees, 700 and some odd rules, that just separated relations. Jesus was different, wasn't he? He called sin, sin. He pointed it out in people's lives, just like we should do as a church today. When we get into sin, we call sin, sin. But still, we live in relationship with each other with love and forgiveness and grace. Not only for each other, but God the Father extends that to you and I as well within our lives. Go back to the beginning with me for a moment. Genesis 1 and 2, the creation story. You know that story well, as you can remember it in your minds. God created the universe and everything in it, along with the material cosmos that you and I are so used to being a part of this world. God then created man in the image of God. We understand that. He created Adam and Eve, creatures capable of having a relationship with each other. And guess what else? A relationship with Him. With Him. And then Genesis 3, if you read on, we know that things got all messed up, didn't they? Sin entered the world, humanity fell apart, and God left the garden. But you need to realize that first relationship was personal. God hung out in the garden with them. They actually had FaceTime with each other. How many of you have been on FaceTime before on your little iPad or your phone or whatever, FaceTime? This is the original FaceTime back in Genesis 1, 2. There's nothing new, right? God had this figured out a long time ago. See, there's a relationship there that was there in the beginning, and sin screwed that up. And then Jesus comes back in with the two greatest commandments, and He changes the way the things are given in the Decalogue. Now listen to this just a little bit closer. When you think of the first two commandments, we look at them as rules, don't we? They're commands. We understand them as commands, but they direct us on what to do in our own lives. See, the commands are to bring us back into that relationship with God the Father in the way that it was originally created. Now, it's not going to be perfect because you and I live in a sinful world. But both of these commands speak deeply about relationship. You can see them on the screen there this morning. Our relationship with God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. The second relationship that's important is those around us. Love your neighbor as yourself, is what it says to us this morning. So let's talk about that first relationship. Our relationship about with God the Father in heaven, our Lord Jesus Christ, the filling of the Holy Spirit within our lives as well. Now, we're reminded that He created all of mankind. He created a thinking being. You and I are intelligent. We're smart in our lives. We're mature in the way we should handle things and live our lives. We have the ability to come up with our own ideas and our own feelings. God's given us some leeway in how we live our lives and the choices we make. He created us to be able to choose things freely in this world. He gave us the ability to freely act in this world as well, whether good or bad. And you go back to the story of Adam and Eve. You know, they were the first couple. They were in a unique relationship with each other. Things were perfect. The relationship was perfect. Nobody could ever say anything bad about each other or maybe make each other mad, and there wasn't any arguing or anything like that. You think about that, how Adam and Eve lived such a different life for a while at first. Maybe it looked like the first couple months you were married, how things are just perfect, right? Living on love. Yeah, how it must have looked back then in that first relationship. And God's in the middle of that, right in the garden, they meet with Him, and they're having FaceTime back and forth. Things are going well. Think about those relationships. But then He also gave Adam and Eve the opportunity to have children and to grow more relationships. And for His children's children to grow more relationships. And you get the picture. It goes on and on and on within your life and our lives to grow relationships with other people. Not only our own families, our own children, our own grandchildren, but our neighbors, the people we go to church with, the people that are within our communities, friends, so on. It continues to grow. God wants a relationship with you and I. That's what He's trying to restore with us. That's why Jesus came into the world to forgive us our sins, but then to have a relationship with us, to know us. He doesn't want a passing acquaintance. He wants your full dedication. He wants your heart. He wants your soul. He wants your mind. He wants to share ourselves. He wants us to share ourselves with Him. That's what He wants. He desires that. And we need to understand that in our own lives. That's what God wants from us. He wants to live in a healthy relationship with us. He wants us to be honest with Him. He wants to have depth with us. He wants to know when you're hurting. He wants to know when you have problems. He knows when you sin. He knows when you have problems. He knows when you're hurting. So why not share it with Him? Because He already knows. He wants you to live in that deep relationship, not surfacey. We get surfacey sometimes, don't we? How are you doing today? I'm doing great. Really, life has kind of sucked this past week. Right? See, God doesn't want that. He wants you to be real. He also wants us to dance and to sing in this life. He wants good things for you. He wants you to live lives of joy and happiness. Now, that doesn't mean that hard things won't come into your life, because those things will happen. But hopefully, if you're close enough to God, even in the midst of trial and hurt and hardship, you will still find joy, knowing what the end result holds in your life: eternal life. And so He expects us to build a bond between us and Him. He expects us to share our love with others and our love with Him. And Jesus is that example. This is how you should live, this type of love with each other. He wants us to come to Him. But the simple direction that Jesus gave us is far simpler to describe in words than what it is in practice, isn't it? I can sit up here and I can speak to you and I can tell you this is what you should do, but then you go out in the real world and it's a totally different situation, isn't it? It's tough, it's hard, it takes practice. I encourage you to start somewhere and work towards that. Some of you are further down the road than others. That's okay. But be on the journey of loving God and having a close, deep relationship with Him. Now, the second one I'm going to talk about this morning is not in the proper order, but you'll see why in just a little bit. I'm going to talk about our relationship with ourselves and how we are to love each other, but to love ourselves as well as a child of God. Now, really, this should be in the third position, but you need to understand it so you get the second position. Are you with me? Are you following what I just said? I'm even confusing myself for a little bit this morning. So this is the third point, but I'm giving it to you in the second position because you need to understand, if you don't get the third point, you'll never get points one and two. You need to look at your own relationship with yourself and your life. Here's the key. Right here, you need to get this morning. If you leave here this morning and you don't get this, then you've lost everything. Unless you know how to love yourself first, you'll never know how to love God or love others. You need to get that and understand that. I maybe should have started with that one, but God is the priority, so I started with Him first. And then it's others, and then it's yourself. But if you can't love yourself, you cannot love God, and you cannot love others. It will not work. So let's talk about that just a little bit this morning. We have to have balance. We have to have balance of truth in our lives. We need to know about ourselves with the understanding of how we should be. You and I are created in the image of God. You and I are tarnished. We've tarnished that image. We've become disobedient to God's will in our lives. You know, a little bit ago we read the exhortation for the Lord's Supper, and I talked to you about reflecting your own life, and you realize, you know, we're sinners, right? We say the wrong things, we do the wrong things, we should do the things we don't do, and vice versa, and so on in our lives. You think about that in your own life. You're created in the image of God, and there's a lot of times that people, I think, get down on themselves because they think, how can I do this? How can God love me? I'm a sinner. I've said the wrong things. I've done the wrong things. I'm a bad person. I'm not worthy of God's love. I'm not worthy of God's eternal life. And we think that often in our lives. Here's the thing that I want you to get this morning. You might be all of those things, but I want you to accept yourself because God has forgiven you and He sent His Son to die for you and your sins. You need to love yourself. You are not a lost cause. Remember that. When we sang Jesus loves me this morning, those words are true to each and every one of us. And they will be for eternity. Now we have to be careful because sometimes people love themselves too much, right? Yeah, they become arrogant. And they think they're better than others, and they think that they deserve more or maybe a higher position. And this can go the other way with this as well. You also must not love yourself so much that you even place yourself above God. Or you become arrogant, and people don't want to be around you. You don't want to be that either. But you also don't want to be the type of person that you think you need to be below everybody else. Because you are a child of God. And so what I've done for you this morning that you need to understand is that I have leveled the playing field. Let me reword that. Jesus has leveled the playing field for you and I. We are no better and we are no worse than those around us. No matter what our position is in this world, as long as we're followers of Jesus Christ and we seek to do good in our lives. Remember that today. Let's talk about the third relationship. Just to confuse you, this would be the second relationship, right? Remember where we're at now? Okay, so now here's the next most important relationship behind God. It's your relationship with others. The second most important relationship will be the relationship with others. Now, relationships are not confined to those that we share with God, right? We know that. We are to go out into the world. That's how we're supposed to live. We are supposed to extend our relationships to those around us, whether they're in the church or they're not in the church, whether they're believers or they're not believers, it doesn't matter. God says, go, build relationships with others. Now, some relationships are easier to build and maintain than others. How many of you would agree with me? You might have relationships in your life that are easy, they're fun, they're joyful, they're easy to take care of, and you might have a relationship in your life that you need to work at to keep them. They might rub you the wrong way once in a while. You might get the feeling like, well, I don't want to hang out with them too much because I don't like the way they do things or say things or the way they act. We get that, don't we? You all have that person in your head right now, don't you? That is hard to have a relationship with that person. It's easy for us to love those who love us back, who believe in the things we believe in, who do or live life the way that we do. Those are easy relationships to be in with one another. You and I, we can relate. We can love our spouse. We can love our children. We love our parents. We love our extended families, our brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews, grandparents. They all fit into that. We can probably relate with caring for and sharing ourselves with friends and extended family. These are all easy people to love. And I think that God tells us, you know, we need to do this, but then it goes further. It gets a little bit harder. But what about loving those around us? This is where it's a little bit tougher. So let me ask you a question. Let me challenge you a little bit this morning. How well do you show concern or welfare for others and reach out with a hand of assistance when someone needs it most, when you maybe don't like that person very well? Maybe they don't believe the same things you do or act the same way you act. Think about that this morning. What about your subordinates, your co-workers, or your boss? Or the neighbor down the road that just seems to be getting under your skin all the time? Or the guy next door who maybe does things to you that you don't care about or you don't like? How well are you doing at those relationships? Because I think that's where it's at. That's where this command comes from Jesus, when he says that, love your neighbors as yourself. How are we doing in those types of relationships? How are you loving those people that are hard to love? You're thinking about people that you might know of, and I have people in my life that I'm thinking about right now too. Like, those are hard people to love. Jesus, you really want me to do that? And he says, yes, go. Build a relationship. Talk with them. Get to know them. Share the love of Jesus Christ with them in the way you act and live and speak and the things you show in your life. That's the key for the church. We live in relationships with those in the church, with those in our family, and those that we maybe don't like so well, and they're hard to build and grow and get to know. They're all included. And let me, on the bottom of your screen, this is what's so important about these two key verses that we talk about this morning, is that relationships grow the kingdom of God. That's what happens. The church grows when you live in a relationship with others outside of the church. We've seen that happen here in this congregation the past several years. You invite people to church. They show up. They come. They gather. You talk about church as you live out relationships with each other. Now, let me share a fact with you that will probably blow you away. Did you know that 82% of unchurched are de-churched people? De-churched is somebody that's gone to church and they quit going now. 82% of those types of people would come to church if somebody asked them. Here's the problem. When we talk about living in a relationship, how are we doing? Did you know that less than 2% of the people that go to church ask somebody to come to church? And 84% said, if you asked me, I would come. The problem is, the church, you and I, we need to ask more people to come to church. That's the point. See, it's all about relationship, isn't it? It's getting to know your neighbor and saying, hey, you need to come to church this Sunday with us. Check it out. Some of you have done that. You've done well at that. People are here because you've invited them to come into your family or to come into your church. See, that's what it's about. Relationships build the kingdom of God. That's what it's about. That's who we are as a church as well. Now, I'm no different than you when it comes to relationships. Sometimes things are difficult. People are hard to deal with sometimes. So let me give you a tool. So what if you were to think about that person that's hard to deal with, or you got to work at a relationship with them, and what if you were to start thinking about that person as if they were Jesus Christ? How much time would you spend with them? What would you say to them? How would you talk to them if they were Jesus? Because let me tell you something else. Jesus loves that lost sinner just as much as he loves you and I. So when you get in those hard places, just imagine if they were Jesus. How are you going to treat this person? Because if Jesus walked down here today, what would you say? How would you act? What would you do if that was to happen? Someday, you're going to stand in the presence of God the Father Almighty. And Jesus is going to be seated at the right hand of God. And you're going to witness and be a part of that as a believer in Christ. How will you act? See, it's no different in relationship. Because God loves everyone. He wants everyone to come to salvation. He wants everyone to be in heaven with him someday. Now, we realize we live in a world where that's not going to happen. Some will not choose Jesus. But you look at the statistic I just gave you, 82% of the people would come to church if you asked them. I've been working with the Dune Church. I'm going to share a statistic from you because I don't think Inwood's a lot different. You know, I've been working as a moderator there, and we're working through some things within the community and the congregation, and we're looking at the population around Dune and so on. And here's the thing that just resonated with me. They went and did a study, and Dune, within 5 miles, and Inwood's not much different, has a population of 1,500 people. Guess how many fit in the category of unchurched or de-churched people. Here, they're a congregation that's a little smaller than ours, and they're thinking, what do? We need to grow. We need to be able to support a full-time pastor. Tell us, where's our mission field? Does anybody would like to guess out of those 1,500 people that don't attend church on a regular basis are considered to be de-churched? What do you think the number is? 1,500 total within 5 miles of Dune. 953 people are unchurched or de-churched today in that area. You believe that? I don't think Inwood's a lot different. I don't know everybody in Inwood anymore, neither do you. There's work, isn't there? See, it's about relationship, inviting those people into church to hear the Word of God. That's what it's about. And this last week, I heard those numbers, and part of me was, you know, we need to do this here in Inwood. Where are we at? What's going on within our community? Who are we not reaching? How do we get there? You know, and so I preach this message to you today, and it might be one of our core values, but it's the truth of God here about how to bring people into the lives, into the church, to bring souls to salvation. You want to talk about discipleship? It's right there. It doesn't take rocket scientists to do this type of stuff. You just simply ask your neighbor, come to church. I need to commend you because I think you guys have done well at this. Bringing people in, inviting people to church. Is there room to get better and to grow? Yes, most definitely. But I think you've been doing well at this core value. Because people are showing up and coming to church. The pews are full. Now, they're not full when it's 20 below zero and the wind chill is 38 below. I get that. And we just had 4 or 5 people come out of the hospital the last few weeks. But the point I'm trying to make is that it's about relationships and living life with one another. Even those that are hard to live with, that we maybe don't always agree with or understand. Because Jesus loves them too. We got some work to do yet, don't we? But I do believe that that is one of our core values. And that's where the growth of the church is at. And all of God's people said.